Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, the jungle VIP.
Oh, yeah. That is Louis Prima singing a song from the original animated version of the Jungle Book.
I want to be a man.
From what, 50 years ago?
Right, yeah. 64, I believe, or 67.
Wow. Which leads us to the showbiz segment of today's show. Brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. You need windows? Go to windowworldst.louis.com and find out about the original $189 window company. Now Disney has come out with a new Jungle Book movie, and it's one of three movies we have to review this week. I'm Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, Ian Geis here in the studio with me, and Colin Jeffrey here for the showbiz stuff as well. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
Good. I saw two of the three movies, but Jungle Book was not one of them. I will tell you that when I was a kid, got to see that movie, loved that movie.
Yes.
When my daughter was young, showed her that movie, loved that movie. Disney, of course, has to redo things, but they're doing this one in a different kind of way in that it's kind of live action, right?
Think Life of Pi from a couple years ago, how there was a computer-generated tiger, but a real person. And that's sort of what it's like. Yeah.
Okay, so the boy, the...
Mowgli.
Yeah.
Yes, he's real.
Okay.
And the bears, Baloo, and tigers, and panthers, and wolves are not real.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they were talking about how the kid that played Mowgli was basically acting by himself and you know, with the computer generated stuff and all that.
Yes.
I've never seen the Jungle Book.
Oh, no?
No.
Really?
Pieces of it, but never the entire movie.
I loved the Jungle Book as well as a kid.
Yeah.
But then I grew up and had to take a class in college on like the intersection of history and literature.
Okay.
And it killed the Jungle Book.
Wait, they made you read the Rudyard Kipling original?
And then we analyzed it.
Oh, yeah.
And destroyed it. And and so it killed the Jungle Book for me, which is, that's a bummer.
Do you still have a sour taste in your mouth, and did it affect the way you watch this movie?
So I got an online screener for this and only got to watch a chunk of it. And it's a little slow to start out, but right as I stopped, it was starting to pick up. I spoke to other people. Everyone I've spoken to liked it.
Okay.
But from my point of view, I will tell you what I think they did more right in this versus the animated one, is they made it, I don't want to say a fantasy again, but kind of a fantasy adventure, that it's about Mowgli's quest and his interactions with talking animals. And it's not the Disney movie that sort of ignore. I mean, they added King Louie. Disney added King Louie from the books. It's actually, the original Jungle Books are actually like 14 or 18 stories over two books.
Mm-hmm.
Rudyard Kipling wrote them.
This is a true story, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was born in Mumbai. He's a British citizen born in Mumbai, and in the 1800s, and writes this book that is pretty easily seen for what it is, and that is a young boy, even though he's Indian in this case, he's actually British, is what they're saying. He's in a new land, in a new world, and all the savages, the beasts, the animals, they want to be like him, as we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, I mean, this is the man who wrote The White Man's Burden. He wrote a poem called The White Man's Burden about.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are these undertones.
You realize what you're doing here is exactly what happened in that college class to you. You're ruining the Jungle Book by turning it into a literature exam.
But no longer. That's what I'm saying. This seems to sort of leave that behind, and they take a different... They say, hey, this is a fun story to tell.
Mm-hmm. And is it fun and funny?
From what I saw, again, yes.
Yeah.
From everyone I've spoken to, yes. It's sort of an odd movie review because I didn't get to watch all of it yet. But
all right, so...
But here's why they did it.
Yeah.
The Jungle Book is in public domain. So that's why we will have a Jungle Book in 2016 and another Jungle Book in 2018.
What does that mean?
It means it doesn't cost anything to make it. You don't have to pay anyone for the rights.
Oh.
And so there's going to be...
Because Rudyard Kipling wrote it 150 years ago.
Yeah, 120 some years ago.
All right. Why would they do another one in 2 years?
Because it's free source material. And who's doing it is really the question. Is it going to be Disney again, or is it someone else? And I believe it's someone else.
Well, this one was directed by Jon Favreau, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great director. I like so much of the stuff he's
directed.
He did
the first two Iron Man movies, didn't he?
Yeah. Swingers.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, which
one of my favorites
still holds up.
A couple years ago, he came out with a good independent movie called Chef.
He also did, yes, Chef was very good. Elf, if you like,
the Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell,
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, and
I love that movie.
Oh, That is one of my new Christmas movies that has to be played every year.
I know.
So for Jungle Book, Mr. Jeffrey, I guess I'm going to have to give you an eye. Incomplete.
Yes, that's fine. I'll watch the rest of it before next week. But, okay. It's going to be something good to take kids to. That's what it's designed to do. I'd say it's a little more intense because they look more real than the animals from 1960s Disney.
Well, those were hand-drawn. These are computer animated.
Yeah, so I'd say it skews a little older, possibly.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Is that going to be the big box office winner this weekend, or is it going to be Barbershop the next cut?
No, it's going to be Jungle Book more than likely.
Oh, yeah?
Barbershop has an R rating and a more limited audience, is what I would say, that it's targeting.
I'll tell you, I don't think it should.
I don't either. I really enjoy. I liked The Barbershop in 2002. I even liked the sequel in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
It's just odd that we're going back to The Barbershop 12 years later.
Well,
and I realized there was Beauty Shop in there.
Yeah, in 2005 with Queen Latifah.
Yes.
This one stars Ice Cube again, and St. Louis's own Cedric the Entertainer, still as the very, very funny Eddie the Barber, who seemingly never ages, but his hair just gets bigger. It's also got Regina Hall and Sean Patrick Thomas and Eve and Common. And Anthony Anderson and J.B. Smoove and Nicki Minaj.
It has Sean Patrick Thomas. Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, from New Girl, who I thought was a nice injection of new... They have new characters in every
barber.
No,
he was in the original.
He was?
Yes, he was in the original. He was a barber in the original, and now in this one he works in the mayor's office.
Oh, that's not who I'm thinking of. Who's the new barber that was in New Girl? Oh, I'm going to forget his name.
I don't know.
Lamour Morris.
Okay.
He's one of the new characters. They bring in new barbers essentially every...
And it's also a unisex barbershop now. They combine the barbershop and the beauty shop, but they're all still together on the south side of Chicago. And it's a workplace comedy. It always has been. And the characters, to me, are all very, very likable. For me, it was good to see them again. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the way you felt watching Star Wars. Oh, it's good to see these old characters again.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it that way about Star Wars, but in movies like this, when they come back together, you know, anytime I could see Cedric, that's a good day. And I enjoy him a lot. But I do have to say, Nicki Minaj has a role in this movie where she's a hairdresser. And if you've ever seen Nicki Minaj in any video or anything else, she has a large chest and a large butt, and they are both prominently displayed at all times, right?
Yeah.
Well, in this movie, not only are they prominently displayed, but the director cuts to them way too often.
He does. He frames. Things are happening in other parts
of
the frame.
Like Cedric's character, Eddie, would say something funny. They cut to her for the reaction shot.
Or not her. Her
butt.
Her butt, yes.
There's an entire scene of Common watching her big butt walk away from him.
Yes. Yes.
Now, okay, fine. I'm not a big Nicki Minaj fan.
No.
I don't know any of her music, and I don't think she's particularly attractive. Not my type, let's say.
I'm not a Nicki Minaj fan either.
But in this thing, it's too much. It's the only thing in this movie that I really complained about. The plot, there actually is a plot, revolves around all these killings that have been going on the south side of Chicago. And Calvin, played by Ice Cube, his son possibly hanging out with some gangbangers and maybe joining a gang because there's gang wars going on, which is what's causing a lot of the deaths on the south side of Chicago. And so that's the central part of the plot of this movie. It gets a little bit preachy, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and it's because it's too long. It's just over an hour and 50 minutes, and I think the last 10 to 20 minutes really are just too in your face. Like there's multiple speeches to the effect of, we got to stop this killing,
we got to save our city, we got to save
it's by every major character gets that speech, and so you hear it too many times.
However,
And there's always a however in life.
This is so much better at the same subject than Spike Lee's movie from a few months ago called Chirac.
Yes.
That was a good idea, but terribly, terribly executed. I couldn't even watch that movie after about a half hour. I had to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
This one takes the same topic and approaches it with a little bit too much preachiness, but also has the comedy built into it.
Yes.
It's a comedy you're going to see. And they got jokes about Bill Cosby and Barack Obama's relationship with women and Michelle Obama's arms. There are also mentions of Michael Brown and Tamir Rice and other topical stuff like that. I like these characters. I like seeing them again. I think this movie was funny. I give it a 7 out of 10.
I give it the same rating, and for pretty much the same reasons. Most of the movie, and the reason the back 15 minutes stood out for me as being too preachy, is up until that point, every time there was a serious conversation between two people in the barbershop about race relations, gang violence, it ended with a joke.
Yes.
There was, and it immediately broke the tension, and it's like, okay, we're laughing again.
Right.
They didn't do that at the end. There was too long of a run-up of serious.
Yeah, I agree.
And I really, that's difficult to do. That's a tough needle to thread where you can say, there's a point here, but really it's a comedy. You're not here to be.
No, you're exactly right.
And I enjoyed that.
On the comedy side, I will say making it a unisex shop where you got the barbers on one side, male, except for Eve, and the female hairdressers on the other side, having that there added a new dimension where they can do sexual stuff.
Yes.
I don't mean sexual acts. I mean they can joke about the other gender and make fun of each other, and that is some of the sharpest and funniest stuff in the movie.
Yes. The only other thing, it's got a couple, like it's got one storyline where I'm like, this is unnecessary. I think they were just trying to get some actors involved too much and trying giving them a bit more screen time. But all in all, they're sort of quibbles. It's
so,
a good movie.
So you and I agree, if they'd cut out 10 minutes at the end and about 5 minutes of Nicki Minaj's butt, it would have been okay.
Yeah.
It would have been better.
Yeah.
It would have been an 8 instead of a 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's called Barbershop, the next cut. We recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to the third movie for this weekend. Why are you laughing?
It's a Kevin Costner movie. Odds are I can laugh, and yeah.
The movie's called Criminal, and it does star Kevin Costner and Tommy Lee Jones and Gary Oldman and Gal Gadot, who plays Wonder Woman in the new Batman vs. Superman.
Yes.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Played Deadpool.
Right. Now, last year, you may remember I told you about a very bad movie called Selfless, in which Ben Kingsley is a rich guy who has a terminal disease, but scientists come to him and tell him, we can take everything that you know, all of your knowledge, all that data inside your head, and we can transfer it into a body of a dead guy, reanimate him, and he'll have everything you know, and you'll continue to live on in a much younger and healthier body. And that body was Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my God.
That was Selfless last year. This year, Ryan Reynolds is a CIA-like super secret agent who gets in trouble while chasing down a plot that you do not need to understand, and you won't even if you see the movie, but he gets in trouble and he dies. And then they decide, let's take everything that's inside Ryan Reynolds' head, which they didn't get from Ben Kingsley, by the way, let's take all of his secret agent stuff, the born identity kind of stuff that he knows inside of his head. We'll take that and we'll put it into Kevin Costner, who plays a prisoner so lethal that when he's in prison, he has to be shackled around the throat by a chain that goes to the ceiling. It's almost like Silence of the Lambs kind of stuff for this guy. That's how bad this guy is. So they think to themselves, well, how can we get that information and use it? Let's give it to a lethal, horrible criminal, and then we'll unleash him. How could that possibly go wrong? Well, of course, it does go wrong. And it goes wrong in terms of a really bad movie. Colin, I'm here to tell you, it's only April, and I already have a movie that is in the running for number one on my worst movies of 2016 list.
Really?
We had a couple of others in January and February. This one may push them aside.
Wow.
I wonder why all these talented people would agree to make such a horrible movie. I also wonder who told Kevin Costner that instead of his regular Kevin Costner speaking voice, he should talk like this at all times. Not that he's doing a Carney imitation, but he's got it's even lower than that. It's kind of a gruff thing. Yeah, he's down here. Sounds a little bit like Bane / Tom Hardy, but without the mask on, and he's just talking like this throughout the entire movie, everything that happens, even in the scenes where he meets Gal Gadot, who's the wife of the Ryan Reynolds character that's dead, and now he knows things about... I can't do it because it's annoying me.
I've got all this weird stuff in my head. Josh, come over here.
I'm remembering something about restaurants on a certain day of the week, maybe Tuesday. He does that voice through the entire movie. Here's another part of this that galled me in its stupidity. They do the operation. Now, in the first movie, Selfless, when Ben Kingsley is transplanted into Ryan Reynolds' head, it's an electronic process, and there doesn't have to be surgery. In this one, Tommy Lee Jones, as the doctor, and by the way, Tommy Lee Jones not looking good in this one, kind of a little bit feeble, but Tommy Lee Jones, as the doctor, has to actually cut open the back of both of their heads. And then after that surgery, there's no gauze put on the big gaping hole in the back of Kevin Costner's head and neck. So he walks around with this thing full of pus and blood, and what? On a regular basis reaches back and looks at it and sees the blood on his hand and goes on with his life. No one in this movie says, let me get a Band-Aid for that.
Oh. Put a hat on.
Put a hat on. But let me put some. But it's actually low enough on his hairline that a hat wouldn't work. It's down there on like on the top of his neck. Nobody says, let me get some gauze. At one point, he actually lies down on a pillow in somebody's house and he falls asleep. And he wakes up, there's blood on the pillow. And both characters look at it like, oh, well, there's blood on the pillow. We don't have to do anything about that. No one says, where'd that blood come from? What's wrong with the back of your head? Why is there a giant gash in the back of your head? No one says that to this guy. Hmm. And he just goes on with the gruff voice to make him, I guess, sound more macho talking down here. I can't help but do Carney when I'm doing this.
I know.
This movie makes no sense.
My head hurts.
The villain, which we've talked about so many times, Colin, has to be a good villain to make a good secret agent or superhero movie. The villain in this movie is terrible. Gary Oldman is playing the character. Well, you know, in the Bourne Identity movies, they always have the CIA guy who's it's Chris Cooper or somebody else, and he's in charge of this team that's chasing him. In this movie, it's played by Gary Oldman, and he's horrible at it, and he overacts, and everybody in this movie is just chewing the scenery so much. 1 out of 10 for Criminal.
Whoa.
Now, I'm going to tell you that other reviewers must have seen a different movie than I did, because I read 2 reviews of this earlier today, and they said, it's an action-filled romp, and you'll really enjoy it. They must not have stayed through the movie.
No.
They must have waited about 15 minutes in and left. I'm telling you, this is a piece of crap.
Wow.
Criminal. Do not go see it.
They wanted to get Gary Owens.
They wanted to get a pull quote on the... That's what they wanted. Giving it a good review. They wanted to be
included in the ads for the movie.
Maybe. Action-filled romp.
Maybe. I don't know.
Dan Strauss, KTRS.
It was fabulous, but I had a big gash in the back of my head.
Put some gauze on that, Jenkins. Get the man some gauze. Speaking of Dan Strauss and movies, actually went to see one of the movies that we talked about last week.
Yes.
The Boss.
Yeah, I went to see the Melissa McCarthy movie, The Boss, and?
And I don't look as deeply into movies as you guys do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By any stretch of the imagination. But The Boss, to me, was just a normal Melissa McCarthy movie where she does that goofy slapstick comedy where she falls and she does stuff, and you do see some things coming. But I thought, all in all, it was a funny movie. It wasn't like, oh my God, it's so funny. But it was a movie that I didn't want to walk out on.
Okay, so wait, hold on just a second. I want to tell you what Dan just said. On the Dan Strauss scale, that's a 1 out of 10. Well, I didn't feel like walking out because Dan loves every movie he goes to. And if that's his review, well, I didn't feel like walking out. He hated this movie.
No, I didn't hate it.
To him, for Dan, the boss is his criminal.
Yeah.
7.5 out of 10 from Dan.
Yeah, it wasn't all that great. There were some funny parts in it.
All right. A couple of other movie things we've got to talk about.
There's one other thing
here.
I wanted to mention. Yes. Ryan Reynolds also in 2011 did The Change Up with Jason Bateman, a body switch movie where they are peeing into a fountain at the same time.
Oh, and they cross the streams, which they should have learned from Harold Ramis. You don't cross the streams.
Yes. Never. So this is now at least 3 body switch movies for Ryan Reynolds.
And then they had the 17 again with...
That was 20 years ago.
Perry and Zac Efron.
That wasn't the pee in. They didn't pee, did they?
No. I don't...
I don't remember how they switched.
Well, the body switch movies, remember there was a whole run of them when Tom Hanks had Big.
Yeah.
There was also one with Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Freaky Friday.
Look that one up. See what that was. Yeah, Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
She was actually respectable and a good actress.
Yeah.
Because she was a kid.
Yeah.
And was it Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
Was in that with her?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And then Lindsay Lohan was also in The Parent Trap. Vice the remake versa. Of Apparent Trend.
Vice Versa was the Judge Reinhold one with Fred Savage. And look this one up. What was the Body Switch movie? I think it was called 18 Again with George Burns.
17 and, Again, wasn't it?
No, this is a different one. Ian's going to find it. George Burns switches places with, obviously, a much younger...
18 Again.
Who is the kid? Does it say?
Oh, man. I'll this.
There was 13 going on 30 with Jennifer Garner.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Schlatter.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows Charlie Schlatter.
Oh, yeah. Remember that other movie he did called... Nobody can name the other
exactly.
one. But, yeah, we had all those Body Switch movies of the 90s, and now all of a sudden we have the Brain Switch movies of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor Ryan Reynolds.
He was in one really good movie last year.
Which was that?
Mississippi Grind.
Oh, my gosh.
I've always thought his best movie was...
Mississippi Grind, the one that I was
yeah.
in.
Was Waiting. I don't know if anybody else
funny.
Had ever
yes.
seen that movie. I thought that was a very funny movie.
Where he plays a waiter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like an Applebee's type restaurant.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty good. How was he in Deadpool? I don't remember your review
very
of that.
Very good in Deadpool. And Deadpool 2, not surprisingly, has been confirmed. They've got everyone back from the original.
Well, I respect the guy. He was one of the three best actors in Mississippi Grind.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. There was you. Ryan Reynolds.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, okay. There you
go. Wait, Sienna Miller, too.
Yes.
Oh, damn. So there's four.
Damn. So he's top four.
Yeah.
And the bow tie gets an honorable mention.
Yeah.
Fifth
top
best
five.
Actor.
You're right. James Cameron is going to make another sequel to Avatar. When I say another sequel to Avatar, I mean four more sequels, Colin?
Yes.
Four more Avatar movies coming?
Four more. We haven't done enough.
How long has it been since Avatar?
Oh,
a dozen
gosh.
Years?
It's got to be 07, maybe?
Okay.
It's been a while.
Okay.
The number one grossing movie. And we knew there were sequels coming.
That was the one that passed James Cameron Titanic for
09.
Biggest grossing movie
yes.
of all time. But hasn't Star Wars passed that now?
No. Domestically, yes. But internationally, no.
Oh, well, that's why they're going to go the yeah. sequel route.
Yeah. Because it did like $2.7 billion.
Has James Cameron done anything since then, movie-wise?
No.
No. So he's been sitting around for the last eight and a half years.
He says he's been working on this, and part of the reason I was reading through is because he said the reason he's stretching it out to more sequels now
mm-hmm.
is because he says we are at the sort of boundary of filmmaking and what we can do. Because Avatar was a game changer in 3D. It brought 3D back from, like, you know...
The grave.
Exactly, mm-hmm. and made it was very good and cool, and it was sort of a Wizard of Oz moment for people who weren't around for the original Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And that's what it, and so my question is, what's he doing that is so earth-shattering that we can't possibly imagine it on film right now, and he needs to drag this out? I think the last one is set for release in 2025, and so, yeah, so we'll be...
See, here's the thing about movies like that.
Yeah.
He told the story.
Yes.
There's no more story to tell.
There wasn't much story in the first one.
That's true.
Hey, was, nice tale.
What little story there was, it was told.
So. And name the alien race from Avatar. Exactly. Oh, I think it's Na'vi or something.
If Kevin Costner right. could do a sequel to that movie that you hated so much, Have a Scar.
So close.
I screwed it up, I know.
You know what? I could see a movie where the blue character from Avatar switches its brains with Kevin Costner. Get Ryan
cool.
Reynolds on the phone.
Ryan Reynolds.
I got a movie for him.
Yes.
Also on the movie front, this week, the new CEO of AMC Theaters, and we have some AMC in this area along with the Werenberg Theaters, Adam Aron, said that he was considering a new idea, which is to allow moviegoers who want to use their smartphones to text in a few AMC theaters across the country. He said, quote, when you tell a 22-year-old to turn off the phone, don't ruin the movie, they hear, please cut off your left arm above the elbow. You can't tell a 22-year-old to turn off their cell phone. That's not how they live their life. Shortly after he did this, the Twitter sphere went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, everybody said, this is a stupid idea, because today he tweeted, with your advice at hand, there will be, capitals, no texting allowed in any of the auditoriums at AMC theaters. Not today, not tomorrow, not in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, good decision.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. What would be wrong with an AMC theater or a Werenberg theater or a Landmark theater? That's pretty much the three chains in our area.
Right.
One of them saying, you know what? We have one theater that you can text in if you want to. And when you look up our showtimes on Fandango or Flixster or IMDb or wherever else you look for them online, that will be our texting theater.
Text-friendly.
Text-friendly theater. Thank you. So you'll know if you go into that theater, people are going to be texting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to any other show, no texting allowed.
Yes.
What would be wrong with that?
Well, if Star Wars came out, for example, and it is on every IMAX screen.
Yes.
Most theaters have one IMAX screen,
okay. And
they're not going to turn that into a text.
So that's a no texting theater.
But the people who text say, I want to see it on IMAX, and they raise a stink, and they can because they're in the movie texting. And so they're raising a stink about how they can't see it on IMAX. So now AMC comes out and says, okay, we're going to allow texting at the 9 o'clock show Friday nights on the IMAX. And so now it's Friday night at 9 o'clock. Well, I can't make it to that show. I need a Saturday show. And pretty soon, everyone is texting. And you know me, I'm a purist. I think they should come around and collect all the food after the previews. No food.
Yeah, Colin gets distracted if you're eating popcorn near him in the movie theater.
That adds to the movie.
Yeah.
And I know so I deal with it because I'm ridiculous. And I know that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
So I'm all right with it. But
you think it's a slippery slope if you have even just one auditorium one night a week allowing
people
to text?
Which I realize sounds ridiculous. Oh, it's a slippery slope. But what's so important? You're watching a movie. You're here to do that. If you want, here's what will happen. You can come to my house. I'll put on any movie you want in the basement. Pay me $12. You can text all you want. How's that sound?
Or do what most Americans do. Don't go see a movie in a movie theater. Stay home and wait for it to come out on Netflix or Amazon Prime and then or Redbox. And then you can text all you want.
What's the rule on selfies? Can you not? Oh, selfie. I'm sitting in a dark room. No, let's. I'm glad they. 24 hours. Done.
Yeah.
Plus, I like the two cartoon guys, that big guy and that little one that goes, no, you tell him I'm going to beat him like a rug. No, a bug. No, a rug.
Why would I beat him like a bug?
Yeah, excuse me. The movie's about to start. Would you please turn your phone off?
What?
That's very, very good. You have been to a lot of Werenberg theaters in your day.
I know. Yeah. I love those two guys.
So I agree. The problem I think you would have is you're creating an atmosphere in which people think that that's okay to do in a theater, and then they go into other theaters where it's, quote, no texting allowed, but they text anyway, and that gets annoying.
I've already said things to people, like in theaters, with their phones out.
You have?
Yeah. I'm not a fun person to go to a movie with, I don't think. So.
Wow. I've said things before, too.
And yeah.
If somebody keeps doing it, or you hear somebody going, talking, it's like...
Yeah, I can't stand talking in movies. Yeah.
I'm polite. I'm not a jerk, but yes.
No, I just go, shut up. Could you please shut up?
I actually have turned around and told people, could you speak up? I can't hear everything you're saying. Then they look at you like you're the idiot. As long as you shut up now, everything's good.
Yeah.
And stop kicking me.
Would you shut up? You paid more for your ticket than I did. I'm not going to go into all that.
Last movie thing I want to mention here is Batman versus Superman made a ton of money at the box office. And you've talked about how at $750 million, there are going to be lots more of these movies following very quickly over the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, as comic book fanboy, think of Ben Affleck writing, directing, and starring in the new standalone Batman movie?
I mean, it couldn't be worse than Zack Snyder doing anything, so I'm all right with it. I actually thought Ben Affleck was a good or serviceable Batman. I'm not concerned about him being Batman. I'm concerned about it being a bad movie.
As long as Zack Snyder doesn't do it, I think you got a much better chance.
He's an Academy Award-winning director.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this.
Actually, he didn't win for director. He won for best movie.
Best movie, sorry.
Yes. Argo did not win him.
He won a Golden Globe for best director. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes, he won. But yeah, either way, why not? Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see another Batman movie. Just don't show me the origin story again.
Yeah, please.
Just pick up midstream.
Then the last showbiz story I have to talk about here today is Louis C.K. created a show called Horace and Pete, which we talked about, which he released online by surprise. He didn't have it a deal with Netflix or Amazon. He didn't have a deal with FX, the network that he was doing his sitcom Louis for. He just released it a couple of months ago out of the blue. He sent out an email to anybody who was on his email list. Hey, I have this. If you want to see it, $5. And I paid the $5 to see it because I thought it was a one-time deal. I didn't know it was the beginning of a series. And then I paid $2 for the next episode. And then after that, I was done because I didn't think it was that great. And it seemed like it was going downhill with episode number two. Well, then he did episodes 3 through 10. And charged $3 for each of those. And he didn't do it with anybody else's help. And more importantly, he didn't do it with anybody else's money. Mm-hmm. And this week he announced, because of that, he is in debt for millions and millions of dollars.
Wow.
Because what he has discovered and what he has proven here is it costs a lot of money to make television. Mm-hmm. Now, he had set a standard of his own about 3 years ago. Remember when he produced his own stand-up special?
Yeah.
And released it only on his website for $5 on louisck.net. You can still, to this day, go on there and get that stand-up special if you want to pay the $5 for it. And he had, what, a couple of million people buy it that way.
Yes.
And that certainly covers the cost of renting a theater, having the cameras there, having a director there, and one guy in front of a microphone in a spotlight. That's a lot cheaper than putting on, essentially, a televised play. Mm-hmm. With actors like Steve Buscemi, Alan Alda, Laurie Metcalf, Edie Falco, and on and on and on. There was a cast of dozens that he had to pay. He had to pay for the sets and the stages and all of that stuff. Yeah, he wrote it. Yeah, he directed it. But doing a new show like that every week costs a lot of money. And he has proven that the TV companies that do this for a living, they do it in large quantity. You know, ABC or NBC or Fox or even Netflix, they may do 20 or 30 shows in a year, and they only need 25 or 30% of those to make money to cover the expenses of the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a solo provider, you're taking that all on you with your money. Now, is he going to be able to sell this to somebody else? Will somebody else like Netflix or FX or HBO, will they pick up the 10 episodes of Horace and Pete and pay him to cover the millions that he's lost?
I doubt the millions, but why not? I mean, someone should buy it. Why not? I mean, buy it for cheap. And you didn't have to produce it. Go and spend a few hundred thousand dollars or $1 million on it. And
maybe he shouldn't have said, I've lost millions on this before he went in to make that deal.
Yeah, that probably...
yeah.
Probably not the best negotiating
season. Oh, man, I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm down about $5 million on this. All right, we'll give you $25,000.
Yeah. I had one other showbiz thing I wanted to say. Okay. This is what I couldn't remember at the beginning. 1938, Adventures of Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to figure out how to shoot people with arrows.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking at special effects ways and all this, but they couldn't find something that looked right. So what did they do? They hired an expert archer to shoot extras who were wearing padding with real arrows. The extras got paid $150 every time they were shot. I just wanted to drop that. I came across that.
You know why he's saying this? He's saying this to make me feel bad. 1938, extras got paid $150.
What did you get for a Mississippi Grind?
$108. Thanks,
well,
Colin.
You didn't have to take any arrows to the knee.
No, yeah.
Extra. I got a lot more than that for... Up in the air.
Yeah, Dan made more than that for his movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But they actually shot people with arrows.
Wow. And there's your new avatar right there.
If only we could get someone to talk like this. Yeah. We'd bring it all full circle.
Perfect. Gosh, and my head hurts.
Get some gauze, Jenkins. That's our showbiz stuff for today here on the Big 550 KTRS.